we're doing. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. And there again, this is Matthew recounting by the Holy Spirit what happened at the home of Peter. And he said in verse 16, "When the even was come, they brought to him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." As we've said many times in this study, the redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing of the physical body. And what Matthew states here is an inspired translation of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3, 4, and 5. Peter also understood this. Remember, this took place at his home. And he wrote some decades after the resurrection of Christ and said in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness." And then Peter said this, "By whose stripes you were healed." So Peter, looking back at the cross, declared that by the stripes that Jesus bore, we were, past tense, healed. So the redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing of the physical body. Now, why is it important that we hear this and know this? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to spend a little bit of time here. And I want to show you why this is so important. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 20. And these are some very familiar passages to many of us. But I want to show you a truth here, and I'm going to show you something about the life and ministry of Jesus so that you can understand why this principle is so important. Notice Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they," underline the word they "are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Now the word health is the Greek, or the Hebrew word, Old Testament, Hebrew word marpe. And that word marpe literally means medicine. Now, notice it says, "For they are life and health," or medicine. What "they" is he referring to? My words. The word of God. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." The word. "Let them not depart from thine eyes." Them what? The word. "Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Them what? The word. "For they," the words of God, "are life to those that find them, and health," or medicine, "to all their flesh." The word flesh means body. So here we see a principle revealed in the Old Testament by the writer of Proverbs, that God's word, if it is inclined and paid attention to, if it is enshrined within the heart, will have benefit to you. And those benefits are twofold, life and health. Life and health. Now, this paints a picture of someone who has an inclining ear. "My son, attend to," or "pay attention to my word." It all goes back to priorities. Is God's word a priority in your life? It is in mine. I try to begin my day every day. It may not be the first thing that I do, but it's one of the early things that I do. Get into the Word and meditate upon certain scriptures, and some of them I read every day, and I pay attention to what God's Word says. You with me? Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. That paints a picture. Now, some of us who are perhaps from my generation or older, you remember the old commercials with E.F. Hutton? Remember those? There used to be an investment company, and they would do these commercials where there'd be a bunch of people on the plane, and they're talking about different things and holding different conversations. And one guy would say to another guy, well, my broker's E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and everybody on the plane would be listening to get this advice from E.F. Hutton. Well, that's the picture that it's painting here, that we attend to, incline our ear to what God's Word has to say. Then he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. In other words, we have to have a steadfast look. That does not mean that you read your Bible 20 hours a day, but it does mean that God's Word is the focus of your attention and that you pay attention to it and you consistently feed upon it. Now, the benefits are twofold. They are life and health. There's something about hearing God's Word that will bring great benefit to you. Now, the next verse says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or the forces of life. There is something to be said about feeding your heart with God's Word. Now, why is this so important? You're going to see in this lesson today, it's important that we pay attention to God's Word because there will come a time when you need it. There will come a time when you need it. And if you will make healthy deposits in your spirit and in your mind with God's Word, when the need arises, you will have something in the well to draw from. But if there's nothing in the well, then it's going to be difficult for you. Now, let me explain it this way. I have a dear friend who I've been ministering to for the last year, and this person has gone through a tragedy. He's gone through a really, really tough time in life. And he finds himself at times when he's depressed or when things don't go right, reaching into the well, his inner man. And you know what he finds? All the religious tradition that he's been taught since he was a little boy. All those songs that are, as someone said, embalmed with unbelief are within him. See, and if all you have to draw on is stuff like, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometime, you're in trouble, brother. You are in trouble. If all you have on the inside of you is, precious Lord, take my hand. I'm tired. I am weak. I am worn. You're in trouble. If that's all that's on the inside of you, that's all you have to draw from. And you are in trouble. But if in a time of trouble or crisis, you can reach on the inside of you and pull up Psalm 107:20. Thank God you sent your word and healed me and delivered me from all of my destructions. Then you will have the power to experience life and health. But if you have neglected to take heed to God's Word, and that doesn't mean you didn't go to church, that doesn't mean you didn't do religious things. I'm just saying we need to focus on what's important. Because you can go to church and miss it if they're not teaching the right thing. Now, was it here or was it on Wednesday night I talked about what happened in Bethsaida? Remember when Jesus took the man out of town? That was on Wednesday night. We were teaching on Wednesday night, and there was an instance where Jesus encountered a man who was deaf and dumb. And they brought him to him, and this is in Bethsaida. And I think it's Mark chapter 5 or 6. And Jesus took the man by the hand, led him out of town. I mean, it was probably a pretty good distance. Took him out of town, spit and touched his tongue, And the man was healed, and he said this to him, "Don't go back into that town, and don't tell anybody what happened to you." It does matter where you hang out. I think the man was blind. That's when Jesus spit and put his hands on his eyes. The guy said, "I see people walking like trees." Laid hands on him again. Then he said, "I see clearly." Jesus said to him, "Don't go back there. And don't tell anybody what happened to you." Why? They'd talk him out of it. You with me? And so there are some things where the atmosphere is just not right, because they don't focus on the Word of God. They may have a storied history. They may have a beautiful edifice. But if they don't focus on God's Word, something is missing. And what happens is you'll sit there and you'll be consumed and filled with all that religious tradition, all that nice stuff. But that nice stuff won't help you when you need it. Are you with me? So we need to incline our ear unto God's Word and focus on the Word, because God's Word makes a difference. Now, let me show you two other things. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And notice verse 15. Luke 5:15. Everybody have it? Notice what it says. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together, notice this, to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. To hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now, great multitudes. This is talking about more than one event. It simply means that there would be times when he was teaching and there would be a great multitude there. And then at other times he was teaching and there would be a great multitude there. That means hundreds, if not thousands, of people would come to hear. Everybody say hear. Hear and be healed. Now, turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And notice verse 17. Luke 6:17. "And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all." Healed them all. But notice first that they came to hear him and to be healed. They came to hear and be healed. Jesus did more in his ministry than just preach the kingdom of God. He also taught and he also healed. Matthew 9:35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And so he preached, he taught, and he healed. But notice that people came to hear him and to be healed. Listen to me. It does matter what you hear. It does matter what you hear. And so the Bible tells us is that if we'll focus on God's Word, attend to His Word, incline our ear to His sayings, don't let them depart from our eyes, but keep them in the midst of our heart, they'd be life to us and health to all of our flesh. Hear and be healed. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now, I don't have time in each one of these sessions to go back and review what we've talked about before, but we've seen several things so far. Number one, we've seen that there is not an appointed time for us to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. The decisions that you make in life and the way you attend to God's Word have great bearing upon that. And so there's not an appointed express moment in time when you must check out. The Bible tells us that if we'll embrace God's Word and godly wisdom, that it'll lengthen our life. And so our life is determined not only by God's purpose and plan for us, but also by the decisions that we make. All right? And so don't fall into this trap of, you know, somebody checking out and say, well, I guess it was his time to go. No, it wasn't. You know? Or when it's my time to go, no. Somebody will escape an accident and they'll say, well, I guess it just wasn't his time. There is no express time. All right? It's up to you. We've also seen that in redemption, Jesus bore our sickness and carried our pain in the same manner that he bore our iniquities. We've also seen so far that last week we looked at a common misconception that people have, that somehow God is glorified in sickness. Well, if that were the case, the Bible would tell us such. But we saw last week that God is glorified when people are healed, when people are made well. God gets glory. Here's another passage in John chapter 9 that often, and this is an expression that I use, throws people for a loop. In other words, they read this passage and they come away with a misunderstanding of what was said. And when you misunderstand something, it can lead to confusion. You know, most disagreements are based on misunderstandings. Most of the time, most arguments that people have are based on misunderstandings, misperceptions. Somebody will say something and you take it wrong. You with me? You know, it's like if you go out someplace and somebody says, man, I don't like that shirt. Well, that doesn't mean you're a bad person just because you got an ugly shirt on. You with me? But somebody says, I don't like that shirt. Now all of a sudden you want to get defensive. You know, my kid gave me this shirt for Father's Day. What do you mean you don't like this shirt? Well, I'm just saying it doesn't look good on you. What are you saying? See, but you have to slow down and actually listen to what people are saying. And you can do this yourself. I pulled up a video on YouTube several weeks ago, and it's a prank, and it's called the N-word prank. And there was a fellow walking through the hood, and he would go up to people and he'd say, what's up, my neighbor? Well, he said neighbor, but they heard something else. I was like, pull up the TV. You can watch it for yourself. You've seen it. Yeah, they thought he said, so what? Who you calling a... He said, no, I said neighbor. No, you didn't. Misperceptions. And a lot of times we don't take the time to hear properly. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to biblical truth to a certain degree. Many times people will read a scripture, misperceive what is said, and out of that build a silly belief system that hinders them in their life. And this is a classic text. John chapter 9. Read with me, we'll start with verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and came again seeing. Now, this is a verse that often causes people to wonder if perhaps God has some mysterious purpose for sickness or disease or for somebody being born with a birth defect. Most theologians, when they study scriptures like this, get bogged down in the reasoning behind such a question. Who did sin that this man was born this way? But Jesus answered the question for them. When the question was posed to him as to who sinned, this man or his parents, Jesus answered, neither. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents. In other words, his blindness was not the result of the sin of his parents or the sin that he may have committed something in the womb, which is just a preposterous belief system. Now, this passage still throws people for a loop, so to speak, and a misunderstanding of the scripture because they don't realize that Christ paid the penalty for sin. And he bore our sickness and carried our pain on the cross. So when you look at this passage, it's not that complicated. Now let's go back and look again at verses 3 and 4. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Now, if you read this on the surface in the King James New Testament, you can come away with the impression that God made this man blind so that Jesus could heal him. It's that phrase, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's what throws people for a loop. Now, here's what you have to know. In the Greek language, there are no capitalizations. There are no punctuation marks. These were added by the translators to help clarify the meaning. So what Jesus literally said when this question was posed to him, Master, who did sin that this man was born blind, him or his parents? Here is Jesus' response in verse 3. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, comma, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, period. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So if you adjust the punctuation marks, it gives it a whole new meaning. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, period. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, period. For the night comes when no man can work. Jesus proceeded to work the works of God in this man's life by healing his eyes. Are you with me? He proceeded to work the works of God in this man's life by healing his eyes. Jesus did not say that God made him sick so that he could heal him. Now, when Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest to him. The word but is the Greek word Allah, A-L-L-A, and it's a conjunction. It could have been translated howbeit. It could have been translated nevertheless or notwithstanding. He was not saying that God made him sick. The word translated works is the Greek word ergon, and the word ergon means deed, labor, or work. Now we can readily see that the deeds, labor, or work of God had not yet been shown in this man's life until Jesus healed his eyes. Amen. You with me? Amen. Now, Jesus proceeded to show or manifest the work of God in this man's life by healing his eyes. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Well, who sent him? Who sent him? Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Well, who sent him? Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Well, we know that God sent him. So here's the one thing that you have to understand. If God was making people sick and Jesus was healing them, there's a problem. There's a problem. There is a theological crisis if that's the case. Because Jesus was the same one who said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So God doesn't make people sick and then Jesus turn around and heal them. It doesn't work that way. You with me? This man's blindness was not caused by his sin or the sin of his parents. But Jesus said, I have come to do the work of him that sent me. And we know that was God. And he worked the works of God in this man's life by healing his eyes. Amen? So you have to understand that God is for you. He's not your enemy. He's not the source of your trouble or your problem. And see what happens many times. Listen, if you don't fill your heart with God's Word, if you attempt to live your life just paying attention to what the culture tells you, or filling your heart with religious tradition, when you are challenged in life or when you are challenged physically, the enemy will take advantage of what you don't know. Remember, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know can get you killed. And when you're challenged, the first thing the devil will do is sit on your shoulder and say, well, God's doing this. The Lord brought this into your life. Or here's one, the Lord permitted it. You with me? Oh, if it wouldn't have been the will of God, he wouldn't have permitted it. You ever heard that one before? Now, why do you think the adversary takes that approach? This is the will of God for you. God sent this into your life. Oh, you know, if this wasn't the will of God, he wouldn't have permitted it. Why do you think he takes that approach? Because if you think it's God, you won't resist. If you think it's God, you won't resist. James said, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But if you don't resist, he wins. Remember Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Not God, but the devil. He can oppress you physically. He can oppress you mentally. He'll do everything he can to destroy your life, as long as you let him. But if you resist him, he will flee. Well, Pastor Bill, how do you resist him? Same way Jesus did. Jesus had a heart full of God's Word. And when the enemy tempted him, Jesus responded with the Word of God that was in his heart. Amen. And the devil would come to him in his mind and say, well, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus just said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Jesus kept responding with what's written, what's written, what's written. Well, guess what? You can't quote what's written if you don't know what's written. And if you haven't put what's written in your heart, you have nothing to draw from. And so, subsequently, you will not resist effectively. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they're life to those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. Well, what have you been focusing on? Amen? What have you been paying attention to? There's nothing wrong with watching a good show. You know what I mean? But don't fill your heart with that stuff exclusively. It won't help you when you need it. Are you with me? I'm going to close there. Amen? You know, you don't want to be the type of person that, you know, you get attacked physically with sickness and disease and you start quoting Oprah. She ain't going to help you. You know? You start quoting NeNe from Real Housewives. Well, NeNe said NeNe ain't going to help you. Are you with me? As much as I like R&B and soul music, ain't going to help you when you need it. Love Natalie Cole. Went to her concert last time she was in Cleveland. I've got love on my mind. We had one of those songs at our wedding reception. As wonderful as Natalie Cole sings, she won't help you in that situation. You with me? So we got to have right priorities. Amen? Notice that Jesus not only healed, but people came to hear and to be healed. Many times people need to hear the right thing before they experience it. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's important what you put in your heart. You hide God's word in your heart, it'll bring healing to your flesh. I've often told people, you know, when you're attacked physically, just double up on your medicine. God's medicine. Double up on the word. I had a minister ask me a question years ago. He said, you know, Bill, after what you've been through in the last few years, has your theology changed? I said, no, not at all. Because the things that I know to be true. There's some things I don't know. I'm not concerned with those. Unless the Lord reveals them to me, I keep moving forward. He said, well, have you modified what you teach about divine healing? I said, nope. I said, in fact, I doubled it up. I used to teach it on the radio once a year. Now I do twice a year. You know? Because people need to know. Amen? God's word brings healing. Now, there was a Roman centurion who had a servant who was in a difficult situation. We don't know what the cause of his illness was, but it had gotten him to the point where he was paralyzed. And so he went to the rulers of the Jews and said, I'd like this Jesus to come and heal my servant. And so they went to Jesus and they said, you know, he's a good man. He's built us a synagogue. He's worthy for you to go to his home. And so Jesus headed for his house. This man saw Jesus coming, evidently, down the road to his home. And he sent some of his servants out to meet Jesus. Now, you find this in several of the Gospels, but this is the essence of the story. And so this man sent his emissaries to meet Jesus, and they said, you know, this man says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. He said, but I'm a man who understands authority. When I am told to do something, I do it. When I tell someone to do something, it gets done. And he says to Jesus, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, you know what? I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. He said, many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Why? Because they didn't believe. But this man believed and recognized that Jesus' words had authority. And he let Jesus know, you don't have to come to my home. Just say it, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus told them, go your way. As you believe, so be it done to you. And his servant began to improve from that hour. Well, we need to have as much faith as that man did in God's word. Amen. Lord, just say it, and it'll be so. Well, God has declared it. It's up to us to receive. Amen? But it's important that we hide God's word in our heart. Put something in the well, so when you need it, it'll be there. And you need to put more than just religious tradition in there, because that ain't going to help you. Amen? Now, unfortunately, I've been in situations, you minister to people, they're in desperate situations, all that religious stuff starts flying out, you know? And you're trying to get them to engage and believe, and, you know, all kind of silly stuff comes flying out of their mouth. Why? Because that's what they believe in their heart. That's what they believe in their heart. And so we got to change what we put in. Sort of like the old computer language. When I was going to college, the computer language of the day was Fortran. Anybody remember Fortran? COBOL? You know? And we used punch cards to program computers. And there was an old saying then, it's still true today, GARGO, garbage in, garbage out. You have the wrong programming on your punch card, your computer's going to do the wrong thing. Well, the same thing is true with your life. You put garbage in, when you are pressed and you need help and you reach into your well, guess what's coming out? Garbage. We need to hide God's word in our heart. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? We're not going to dismiss. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask Brother Heidelberg if he would come and pray. And I'm going to ask the ushers to come. And we'll have communion. And then we'll dismiss.